All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to Oilers Nation Radio, presented by the Nation Network. Subscribe for free on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Oilers Nation Radio, as always, brought to you by our love of coconut water. Reach out to Lisa Evans. She's the official spokesman for coconut waters of all brands and varieties.
So different flavors.
Yeah, you can get ones with like pineapple and shit in. I'm an OG. I'm a purist. No pulp though, please.
Pulp in coconut water.
It's like little bits. You don't want the bits in your coconut Milky. Water. It's more viscous too, probably.
Do we look crooked to you on camera?
The monitor's crooked.
Ah, it's the monitor.
Yeah, why are those, both of them are crooked?
I don't know what's going on in this room, but sometimes there's cables missing.
You guys realize we just won a playoff game last night, right? Like this place was probably rocking.
Oh,
it was just Aaron and Pat.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I mean. Those boys were having a good time. They were posting selfies at 12:15 from the office last night.
We did. We did the post-game show yesterday.
How'd they look over there, Tyler?
Any bottles? They leave any bottles behind?
Oh.
No.
We'll get there.
Oh, Danny's wearing sunglasses.
Dan's a sunglass guy now.
And
playoffs.
And early stages mullet guy. Early onset mullet disease.
Shaved off the side.
How long did it take the hairdresser?
Like 30 seconds. The guy made the easiest $30 he's ever made.
I was going to say, and you paid full price?
It was embarrassing. Oh, you got it. And I think he kind of was like, you can come back in 2 weeks and I'll clean it up for you. Like after we eliminate the Kings. And
he's going to charge you another $30.
No, he better not.
Oh, he's going to.
Better not. Oh, yeah, he's going to.
There's no part two
in the whole time.
You're going to walk in and be like, "Here, I'm here for a cleanup." He's like, "Who are you?"
Yeah.
Anyway, get in the chair. Give me $30.
Have you recovered from your concussion from last Tuesday?
You know what? I was thinking about that today. My right eye has been twitching ever since. It's so.
He was sitting in your chair. And he was, I don't know. He was back a
bit.
And
I turned my head.
You must have been, like slouching a bit too. Cause he hit like, you could
and
hear
then I don't remember there. Much after it. I saw colors. And then I think I said I didn't feel good.
Yeah. I think it's because we didn't have the graphic up.
Yeah,
you got lost by our makeshift graphic.
It caught me out of the corner of my eye. I was looking up at it. And
if you watch the video version of last week's podcast, you know what I'm talking about.
Did it go off?
We all play a hurt.
And no one ever figures out how to turn the lights on behind the TV.
I do.
No, there was a real life.
Maybe you weren't here either.
We might not have noticed.
Here on Friday.
Neither of you were here. We were left to our own devices.
You took a day off before your vacation to California?
Yeah. I had to do some stuff.
That's awesome.
A lot of avoiding the grind going on in the playoffs.
We were guessing you were getting a 10 in.
It was technically not the start of the playoffs.
A 10?
Yeah.
Yeah, just so you don't want to
get, because you're going to be in LA. You're going to be on the beach. I hear the sun is pretty strong down there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your English skin is very fair.
I tan well. I have that dirty skin.
You should bathe. I'll get rid of that.
It is dark. Look, I'm quite dark.
You're British.
So he was tanning.
English.
Ah, great. You were tanning then. All right. Rick's right. How many minutes?
You want to be called Great Tanner? British?
47.
Wouldn't you want to be Great British? It's got the word great.
Not British.
It's got the word great in it.
Greatish British, I believe it essentially is.
I'm down.
What day is it today, Liam?
Tuesday.
See?
Are you serious?
Tuesday, innit?
You started the entire...
Oh, St. George's Day.
Holy.
St. George's Day.
I lob it up to you and you just smack it in my face.
Laurent? Yeah.
Today is St. George's Day.
LaRocque? I was at the game last night, so it is important that
the day where George LaRocque scored his hat trick on this day in history.
That's awesome.
Liam would like to declare it St. George's Day.
St. George, from my understanding, slayed the dragon and saved us all.
The metaphorical dragon.
Never stepped foot in England, and today... So either today is his birthday or the day he died is so a day, what they remember.
What dragon?
The dragon, Nurk. The dragon.
You know.
And he was
the dragon. See, the dragon. I feel like this is one of those stories where it got lost over time and he was actually chasing the dragon and that's what killed him.
Oh, yeah. Well, wouldn't be the first.
So it says.
So he's like Shrek.
Yeah. Yeah.
It says.
He tamed the dragon.
Today is a symbol of courage, chivalry, and national pride.
So do you feel chivalrous today? Yeah. You didn't open a door for me at all.
Yeah, I feel pretty chivalrous today.
I'll let you pay me back for that when we go to Los Angeles. You can open all the doors for me. Thank you. Chivalry is not dead on St. George's Day.
Not in Great Britain.
Happy St. George's Day to all my fellow Englishmen.
And to George LaRocque, who is the St. George we were.
I saw our St. George.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And George Michael.
Wham.
R.I.P.
From Arrested Development?
Yes.
Not George Costanza, though.
Nope. Not him.
Our boy Dukes has a tattoo of George Costanza. Do you know that?
I didn't.
Where is it?
On his arm. It was very distracting when I saw it, when I caught it out of my eye. Anyway, let's get the podcast started. Lots to talk about today. I want to give a shout out to our friends at Wendy's. And again, I'm going to tell you to go to Wendy's wherever you are. Whatever you're doing, leave right now. Go for a $5 Cinnabon and a small coffee for only $5. What are you laughing at?
I just love the idea of someone just like, you know, maybe listening, they're like, all right, on fine, the job site right now. And they're like, all right, there you go.
Yeah, Cinnabon, $5 Cinnabon and a small coffee. You're telling me you're not going to enjoy that on a Tuesday afternoon after a big Oilers win?
On St. George's Day.
On St. George's Day of all days. What a blessed Tuesday this is.
Or post St. George's Day if you're listening to this any other day.
Yeah, if you go a little bit too hard celebrating.
Yeah, if you're listening to Wednesday, this is not for you.
No. Well, it's good to put these holidays at the start of the show, I think, because then people can look back and know.
Or they could just look at the date of the episode.
Yeah, you know what?
They can spend the rest of the episode in celebration.
Exactly. Not only do we inform you all about the Oilers, but about a bit of national pride, too.
Go on out.
From a different country.
From a different country.
Download the Wendy's app. Score some points in the Wendy's app. Get yourself some free food. Why not?
Ooh, delicious.
Why not? To me, I feel like it's a frosty day. I've earned it. I've done nothing to earn it, but I've earned it. I will be stopping for a frosty.
Slay your food dragon.
Tyler?
Yep.
George.
What have you for us today on the delicious debate for our friends at Wendy's?
After a big win to start the Stanley Cup playoffs for the Oilers, we're going back to a very, very classic delicious debate question. What impressed you most about the way the Oilers handled the Kings last night?
Who wants to start? Who's jumping in?
I'll start right away. It was the Oilers' start for me. I think I admittedly went into that game being understanding if the Kings were going to be the team that had the hotter start, and it just wasn't the case. By the end of the first period, I started to kind of question my Oilers in six pick.
Oh.
I thought that, I agree with you. But I thought that there was a couple of shifts. The first couple of shifts, the boys were a little bouncy. The puck was a little bouncy.
Yeah, that's fair.
Then they settled in and then it was fine. But I was just like, what's going on with you?
We've seen this team in now a handful of playoff runs. We know the stats about how bad they are in game ones. We also know.
One since 2017.
Yeah. And we also know, like, there's been a lot of games like this one where they come out and they need a period to wake up. And I was a little bit concerned with the fact they didn't play a meaningful game for like the final 10 days of the regular season, that I was like, man, they might come out a little bit sleepy in this one. And I give them full marks for not doing that.
What impressed you the most then?
it's the offense, and as you know, dumb or as obvious as that kind of sounds, I think again, you're going into a series against a team who plays a trap style, who thrives on low event, low scoring hockey. And you let that game turn into an absolute track meet, 92 shots on goal or 82 shots on goal over the course of the 60 minutes, 11 total goals. You hammered home seven of them, were in the driver's seat for the most of that game, scored the first four. You scored on the power play. You scored at even strength. Like, the Oilers just picked apart the LA Kings, and I think it's going to be really hard for LA and their video breakdowns in their meeting rooms to sit there today and even after game two, whatever happens, and go, oh no, we think we can shut down this Oilers team, because I don't think they can.
What impressed me the most is, I don't know if they showed it on TV, so let me know if they did. The Oilers were all business from the time they came on the ice. There was no twirling around. The starting lineup came right out and stood on the blue line and waited for the anthem. Well, the Kings were just cruising around. They were doing their thing. Boys were all business right from Jump Street. I loved it. Loved it. But what impressed me the most, I think, is that I thought the Oilers did a really good job for the most part of ignoring the noise. The Los Angeles Kings cannot hang with the Oilers in terms of skill. All they can do is hack, slash, and be annoying. And I thought the Oilers did a good job of kind of ignoring that. Letting them do whatever they wanted to do, just kind of turning the other cheek, being all about their business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you guys pretty much covered it there. I just liked how they beat them. They handled the whole entire game. I didn't mind how they started. I didn't expect them to come out guns blazing. I expected them to kind of come out and feel your way into the game. Two teams doing the exact same thing. And if I was LA, I'd be really, really dejected right now, because that 1-3-1 or 0-5-0 or whatever the hell they were running yesterday doesn't work. The Oilers have figured it out. I don't see what LA can do from here on in. Like, this literally could be over before by the end of the weekend.
It is tough. Like, I went and looked into the past series, and Bob McKenzie, the GOAT, has always said, you know, momentum does not carry over game to game in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And there's pretty good examples of that over the last couple of years when it comes to the Oilers. Like, we all remember the Battle of Alberta, obviously, right? Like, the Flames won that first game and we were sitting there going like, whoa, we might not get a save. We might be in trouble. Frank Saravalli said the Flames are going to make this a quick series. And then the Oilers went and just chipped off four straight victories. When the Oilers played the Kings 2 years ago, they lost game one, but then in game two, they won 6-0. Then in game three, they won 8-2. Mm-hmm. And then
they got shut out, if I remember correctly.
You were bang on. They got shut out 4-0, then lost 5-4. And they were on the ropes in game six. So, like, very encouraging. And I agree. I don't think the Kings have enough to keep it up with this Oilers team, but I also don't want the Oilers to sit there and think that, because
I think that's what happens when you bring in those veterans that they brought in. You bring in a guy like Corey Perry, he's not going to allow that. We saw what he did with Evander Kane back in game whatever, when Kane, you know, kind of just sloppily threw the puck towards the net instead of keeping the puck down low. They know what they have to do. They have guys in that room, guys on that bench that are going to hold each other accountable. They're going to play the proper game, and it's going to take a really good team to beat these guys. And LA doesn't have it. LA doesn't have, they have one type of game. We all have seen it. It's that low event. It's the trap. That's all they have. They can't just turn around and change it up. Calgary had the ability to play an offensive game, or if they had to, they could tighten it down. LA does not have that.
I still am calling Oilers in six. I don't think, like,
I had it in five.
I agree with you guys that, like, everything you're saying, I agree with. I just don't think that the Kings are, like,
and that game last night was not 7-4.
No,
there were two goals off skates, and a broken stick.
Yeah. So I have that on the list too. I want to discuss that a little bit, but, like, I just don't think, cause I was at the arena when they won 8-2. I was at the one where they won 6-0, and then they got shut out right after. Because remember how confident we were in game four going 2 years ago?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I emptied my betting account on game four.
But that's the difference between that team back then. You've got Connor's a couple years older, Leon's a couple years older. You got a guy like Corey Perry in here. You got Adam Henrique, and you've got these guys that aren't going to go in there and do that anymore. A lot of these guys that were on that team are still here. They know they made that mistake.
The Kings can win games.
They can, but they're not against us.
I just think that the Oilers got to maintain their game, and they can't let it slip, and they'll be fine.
Yeah. And I don't think you'll see any slippage out of this team. They all, as one, they know they should have won last year. That roster last year should have won the Stanley Cup. They know it. They feel it. I know they feel it. I know they know it.
As an aside, I very, very much dislike the Dallas Stars. Always have since the 90s. Always will. However, last night when Mark Stone was being interviewed in the intermission and Dallas fans were booing so loud that they couldn't even hear anything, I was appreciative of it.
I just hope that goes seven.
Yes.
I do not care who comes out of it.
It had to be him scoring the first goal though.
Oh, had to be. Had
to. And then Hurdle makes it 2-0.
Had to. Liam, what impressed you most last night?
I'll just say one moment. I think Stewart's going to save on Victor Arvidsson.
Huge.
It was massive and it basically swayed the entire game. That would have been 2-1 at the time. And then the others go down and score. I think it was Hyman, right? Made it 3-0. So that was big. We didn't see that from Skinner last year. So it was like reassuring to see that he was there.
Last night I was driving home from the game and I'm having a little chuckle to myself because I was just thinking, I was like, Stu should have finished that game with like a 970 save percentage and three tough ones, just like two off skates. Yeah. And then Cody Ceci's stick blows up in his hand. My favorite part about that, albeit annoying, because the Oilers won, so it's fine. His gut instinct when that happened was to chuck the puck right into the slot.
Yeah, he was thrown into the only guys he can see are in front of him.
I would put it under my body and come get it.
The only guys he can see are in front of him.
I would stick it in my pants.
They're always trying to keep that puck moving.
Come get it. Yeah, I just thought it was funny. It was just like one of those ones where you go, ah, fuck. But like, you know.
You could see it in the post game hand or celebration, him and Pickard took a few extra seconds and you could see Skinner was visibly upset. Like he was not happy with the performance, and Pickard was giving him, you know, extra props. Cause I mean, he did play well.
He played great.
Just had a couple of stumbles.
Just those, man, those tough bounces. So I just hope, like, I hope they got all their poor luck out in game one.
But that's it, right? Like LA got their bounces in that game too. And still lost by 3.
That game should have been 7-2. Like that game was not close, man.
Even the goal that got called back, like I found it interesting. Like they didn't give us many replays though.
They didn't give us any variety. They kept showing us the same damn one. But the last one, last time they showed it, at least you could see they slowed it down for you. It went off that glove, and I don't know if he like meant to, but his hand was coming down, and the puck ended up getting there, and he knocked it down.
Can't hit the glove at all.
No, he directed it in with his hand.
Can't bat it in.
Because it was coming down.
He was moving his hand down. It just happened to catch like the inside of his hand and went in the net.
That's the thing. People were saying it wasn't deliberate. I don't think anyone was arguing that it was deliberate. It was the motion, right? Yep. Like, and that 100%. Was it. I mean, either way, if it didn't hit his hand, it was a high stick.
Yeah. Yeah. Because chances are he's probably trying to not have it hit his face.
The Kings fans were putting out pictures of Trevor Lewis with his eyes closed being like, look, it's not deliberate. He wasn't even looking.
It doesn't matter. That's not the rule.
Deliberate has nothing to do with it.
Yeah, like it's
just I had my eyes closed and I shot that guy. Didn't mean it.
Didn't mean to. Didn't see him.
Rats. That's like saying Bertuzzi had his eyes closed and when he knocked that puck in the net last night in the Leafs game. He didn't mean to. Well, that's what happened.
That thing was funny too. That was like 10 feet high.
It wasn't even close.
How about two in that game when they reviewed the first one after Omark made the save on the post?
Yeah.
And they were like, look at the way he pushes it out. Like, he knew that puck was in. It's like, no, I'm pretty sure he just made a save and his hand was just there and he just like instinctually. Like,
and you know, he knows he's close to the goal line. Yeah. You're getting that shit away.
But like sometimes we look at this stuff and the CC thing is the same where it's like, why did he do that? He's like, because he was like, oh shit.
Yeah.
My stick just snapped.
Yeah, it just blew up anywhere. In his hand.
But you have like, you have a quarter of a second to do something, right?
Like your instincts.
There's so many people that are like, no, you should do this, that, or the other thing.
Like me, now, 2 minutes ago.
I was going to say the thing that impressed me the most from the game was the fans.
Oh,
I've only been in the building once this year for a Rangers game. So I think like I've maybe lost a little bit of perspective, but that Talbot chant was at the start of the game was so awesome. And I wish Edmonton would do more of that during the regular season, but I just love it in the playoffs. What an atmosphere.
Belfour. Dude, that took me right back there.
The Manny one from 2006.
Yeah.
I'm going to say after boys, let me know what you think. So Talbot chant starts happening. I go, oh, I'm super into it. I love these. Everybody's doing the pom pom thing at him.
Yeah.
By goal 3 or 4, it was getting real loud.
Oh yeah. Everyone is in.
It was getting way loud to the point where I started kind of chuckling to myself. I'm like, man, there's no way he is not just like, oh fuck. I used to be a star in this building.
How'd they leave him in for that many?
That was an interesting question too.
How do you leave him in?
Yeah.
I think it was his fault though. Like, I think
no, but sometimes it's a mercy pull. Sometimes it's a pull, like, to wake your team up. There's
maybe after the second period. Was it 4-2 going into the period? But the thing is, too, right?
Who plays next game?
You go in. That's the question. But you go into the third. It's okay. You put in Rittich, and the others are immediately on a power play. Like, is that really? You're not putting him in a position to succeed, and it's still a 2-goal game. At least Talbot, to his credit, did make some good saves last night. I know they scored 7, but I don't think it would have been a good idea to switch. Next game, I would also go back to Talbot. I was there.
As an Oilers fan, I too would go back to Talbot.
Exactly. I think you'd be scared to play Rittich in that building.
There's a thing with this guy. I think it's a part of it. And I think it also just for them, they want to have that in the chamber still. They want to have the opportunity to throw Rittich out there if they aren't confident in Talbot and what he's given them. They didn't want to put him out there and have the Oilers continue to play like they were and light him up too.
Yeah, that gives you a different thing going in. Can you get a no save Dave chant going? How do we get this out there? Actually, I know exactly what we do. We look at this guy right here in front of me and go, hey, listen, you know what you got to do. 2017 all over again.
Yeah, we can do it. Yeah.
It's all on you now.
If I find out
you got about 24 hours,
I will blast it everywhere all over the place. Yeah. It's what we do. Anything else that stuck out that just impressed you from game one? There's lots. Like, the Oilers played really, really well. I had a fantastic angle of the Adam Henrique goal.
He picked that.
Man, I love him.
Filth.
I love him. He is such a good pickup because he's so quietly good at everything. And that was one of the few goals that he actually scored from not in the crease.
Yeah.
Paying homage to Zachary Hyman.
I thought Henrique was excellent. We have a nice little combination now with him, McDavid, and Hyman that allows you to put Nuge on the second line with Draisaitl and Fogle. And I know that line didn't make a big dent on the score sheet, but I still thought they had themselves a pretty solid game. And you probably view that line's performance a lot differently if Nuge finishes off that 2-on-1.
I do like that. I had another great angle on that one. That one bummed me up. I like to see that he rebounded on the power play shortly after.
No one's mentioned the fact that something happened for the first time in 26 years last night.
Oh, yeah.
What happened?
Connor McDavid's 5 assists.
Oh.
Stupid. The NHL record for playoff assists. 6. Done twice. Once by Wayne Gretzky. Once by some other guy. Miko something or other back in like 82.
Yes.
Yeah, it was.
Wow, Costco.
Maybe.
Miko.
Connor was,
that's incredible. And that first goal, the way he did that spinorama, that defenseman, that was filth.
I loved, I don't know which,
probably then he made Drew Doughty, an MV, like a Hall of Fame defenseman, chase him around the net like a 6-year-old
as he went
out there for Hyman's second.
That was the one that was my favorite because Connor was in Wayne's office behind the net. And then he just slowly spun backwards right on the stick. There's nothing Cam Talbot could do about that. Zero.
3 guys go looking at him.
It was awesome. Connor was, and again, Connor did a great job of just ignoring a bunch of noise last night.
The whole team did. There were no retaliatory penalties. There was not a lot of anything after the whistle. There was no giving any bullets to LA.
That's what I want to talk about next. Because to me, I wrote it in my article this morning, my post-game article at OilersNation.com. The Kings cannot hang with the Oilers.
Period. End of sentence.
The only thing they can do is try and get Edmonton off their game. And they were trying a lot of that shit last night. I think of the fact that Trevor Moore doesn't even get a fine for that low bridge on Vinny.
Ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
Could have taken him out for the series with that kind of a hit.
Easy.
Look at the league for that one.
Josh Archibald in the playoffs against Winnipeg did the exact same thing to Logan Stanley and got a game for it.
Yep. Yep.
Why is this league so inconsistent? But it drives me nuts because, like, there was Hyman got a breakaway. It would have been goal number 4. The slash he took.
Yeah.
Absurd. You got to call that shit.
Right in front of me, I think it was the third period. Evander Kane took a high stick.
Oh, I thought Kane played really well.
What's his face was standing right. Graham Skilleter.
Of course.
Was standing right there, literally 6 feet away, looking right at it. May as well have been the Matt Benning hit from behind that started my whole hate for this guy. Mm. Right at him. Calls nothing. Keeps his arm now.
I was actually going to text you last night that it was Skilleter. I didn't know you were at the game last night. So I was going to text you it was Skilleter last night.
Yeah, the miss call on Kane was brutal. But the Oilers' power play, we haven't really talked about that. Probably the best it's looked all season.
Looked
like they go 3 for 4. That first power play attempt they had in the first period, that's about as good of a power play attempt as you can have without scoring. And I liked what they did. Again, you know, LA's been studying the tape for the last 3-4 days here, getting ready for this series. You know, they know all your usual tricks and whatnot. Yeah. And what did they do first power play? It's Nuge in the McDavid spot, McDavid over on the Nuge spot, Draisaitl in front of the net, standing right next to Zach Hyman. And I honestly think the LA Kings,
what the hell do we do now?
It was like 50 seconds of pressure, pressure, pressure. And I think the Kings are just sitting there being like, what the fuck are they throwing at us? It's like you're going up to bat against Randy Johnson. He starts throwing you knuckleballs and you're like, what?
This is, we talked about that whenever that one goal, when Leon was on the left-hand side for the one time, and we're like, hey, listen, I think they just said, hey, listen, we have another play here for it. There you go. Well, they have more than one now.
Yeah. Speaking of which,
his goal,
Leon, were you in that corner for his goal?
Yeah.
Was he behind the goal line? Cause it looked like it.
Not quite, but man, he was inside. He was between the bottom of the circle and the goal line.
Yeah, it's like, what angle?
He hasn't hit that angle pretty much all year. He couldn't miss last year.
So yeah, I'm down in the corner there. And part of what made it so impressive is, again, from my angle, I see him shoot and I see, it looks like the whole net covered by Cam Talbot. And then it was like the crowd goes nuts. And just in that split second of like Leon shot, all I see is Talbot, everyone goes nuts. And it was like the guy in front of me turned around and was like, did that actually go in? And I was like, had to have, like, obviously, but like we couldn't see it from our angle. Cause again, Talbot played it perfectly.
He knew
it
was coming.
And Draisaitl just, there was room for a puck and he put it there.
I'd like to see a slow-mo of that because last year he had one where there was just like a little like puck slot right there.
It was against the Jets after he put the net back on, I think.
Yeah, yeah. And he just put it right. Like he may as well just put it in there with his fingers. Whoop, there you go.
He almost had another one too, where it hit Talbot in the face or something, but he was real close to getting into that top corner again.
He also had a really nice play. It would have been in the third period on the power play before they scored, where he was just kind of like stick handling right in his office. And then like no look, just boom, fired one, tried to go 5-hole on Talbot. And then the rebound went to the corner and he went and got the puck back. But I was like, man, again, I've been harping on Leon all year for this on this show, every show. He could be a 60 to 65 goal guy every year because his shot is so good, but he just doesn't like using it. He likes being a playmaker. And it's like, man, if in the playoffs, we've seen it before, his production goes to another level. I think part of it is because he's like, you know what? I don't need to pass all these pucks. I'm going to rip them.
Let's not forget he's healthy this year. He has two legs.
Speaking of which, over Mikey Anderson already.
Yeah, he's dumb.
He's so annoying with the cross checks, like in front of the net, in the crease, and none of them are being called. Like the Oilers,
grown ass man calls himself Mikey.
Well, I mean, we've talked about that
before. I thought it was Mickey.
That's what Gregor calls
him. The English version. That's the in translation.
Gotcha.
You know? Anyway, I don't like the Kings and how cheap they are, but that's all they've got.
Oh, man.
That's all they've got.
I had an angle on one play. Like, the Oilers go into the scrums. And again, I give credit to the Oilers for the line I used on Owen every day was they reacted, but they never overreacted.
Yeah.
The amount of times LA comes in and they don't just give you like the little cross check in the back or like the little face wash, they punch. Mm-hmm. And Kempe clocked Nuge in, it would have been the second period, I think. No, it was third period because it was in front of what would have been the Kings out there.
Power play, wasn't it?
Yeah. And Kempe just suckered him and the refs were looking the other way and Nuge's helmet kind of came off and I had a great look at him. His face looked like it was almost like cut from the punch. Like it was dirty.
There was like two or three punches that came in after that too on him. It was like, he was like the clown bobble thing bouncing around. And every time he'd pop up, somebody else was punching him in the head.
Yeah. The Kings don't go in. Like they go in there, they punch to hurt you, which I mean, hey, Stanley Cup playoffs. Like,
let's be honest, Kempe, you don't want that smoke.
No, you do not want that.
No. And that's the other thing too, is like, England is probably the only guy on that Kings team that fights consistently down.
Yeah. Oh yeah. He's I think he led the Pacific in the, in fights but this
like
year with
Arvidsson flops around and never owns up to anything. Like there was a point where he
had a big dive in the first
period. Where him and Hyman kind of gave each other whacks and Arvidsson like whacked him one more time and then just took two big strides backwards and started laughing. And it was like, dude, like they're never going to do anything about it. Like at least Zach Hyman, we saw him fight Sean Durzi a couple years ago. Like Hyman goes to the net consistently and stays there. I'm so already so sick of the little Kings rats who run into a scrum, sucker punch someone and then like skate behind the ref and are like, what? What did I do? Oh, I hate them. Same I hate them so much.
That's why I liked what Connor said post game, and I'm paraphrasing. He's just like, fine, go ahead, punch us in the face. We're not engaging you.
Yeah. Because it, and again, last game it was, yeah, you're going to give us a shitload of power plays. Okay.
Well, and the Kings power or Kings broadcast said that, and I updated the numbers, said the Oilers are now 18 for 40 of their last power play chances over the last 2 years.
God damn.
Against them. So it's just,
that's incredible.
Gross.
18 for 40. That's insane.
Which one?
So what? Fine. Punch him in the face.
Yeah, we'll please. Take
him. Which what? It's what made it so funny when, again, first period, Oilers up 2-0, have all the momentum. And Pierre-Luc Dubois is like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to run Connor McDavid from behind in front of the bench. Puck's that nowhere
was,
near.
That was right in front of me. And he was just trying to like hold him in the bench.
Yeah.
I'm like, what are you doing?
To be fair, that was the most impact he had on the game.
Dubois. He got a goal.
His stat line, it's so funny because his stat line is actually like,
wait, which goal did he get credited?
The nurse one.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Jesus. Dubois had a goal, actually finished plus one on the game as well, but he took two incredibly stupid penalties. And when he was on the ice, the Kings got outshot 13-6.
Best $9 million they could have ever spent.
I tweeted last night, I'd rather have Iafallo, Vladi, and Kapari than Dubois.
Why? Of course.
And two Vegas fans tweeted me back. And one was like, this is not a hot take. First of all, very mild, cold, very cold.
No, that was just the facts. Most
obvious. Those and then the one facts. Other Kings fan, Vegas fan, which is weird that they were there, was like, I'd rather have Kelly McCrimmon than Ken Holland. I was like, yeah, man, me too. Like, what do you want from me?
Are you guys printing copies of him? Or
different thing, but similar is that today there was like a bunch of Vancouver Canucks fans in the Oilers mentions trying to make a big deal that there was a fight in the Moss Pit last night. I quickly searched. Took me 2 seconds. Bunch of Vancouver fans fighting yesterday. Like,
happens yeah, everywhere.
Hey, guess what? You get a bunch of 20-somethings together and they're all shit-faced. Sometimes they're going to fight.
Yeah. I said it outside in the room there. I worked in a bar for 2.5 years. I'm just glad that cell phone cameras weren't a thing back then, because the amount of bad choices that people make, like it's like life just happens and stupid people exist. It's a thing.
There's a lot of stupid people.
So Rick got this black eye.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and I wanted to give a shout out to the Hockey Night in Canada crew. They looked this up, or Sportsnet brought this up, but goal or days between Adam Henrique playoff goals, 4,332.
Amazing. You know
when his last one was?
Was it the Cup Finals?
Monday, June 11th, 2012.
It was a game good seven memory. Against the Kings.
Game four, wasn't it?
Wasn't it game seven?
Didn't that series go seven?
Did Henrique only play 4 games that year?
He played 24 games. Whatever the last game of that series was when Henry.
Yeah, right. No, I apologize. So I looked at the wrong thing.
Last goal was against LA and his next goal was against LA.
I love Adam Henrique. I wish there was an avenue where the Oilers could afford to keep him. I don't know that there is that lane there, but I would love it.
They were the report was they were trying to sign them, trying to extend both him and Carrick.
I'm just saying, Adam, people love it so much that even when they're under contract with other teams, they come and cheer them on.
I was going to say, yeah, maybe we need to send our BFF double agent here to go tell Henrique, hey, the grass isn't always greener, big guy. Maybe take 750 kilos.
Are we allowed to talk about it?
Clem?
I don't say why not. I was on the board, man. It's on the internet.
I don't know that I've seen a former player that is currently contracted with another team.
That isn't a sibling.
Yes, that is not a sibling. Shout out to Brady Tkachuk. Come back and wear his own jersey.
But even after Brady Tkachuk did it the 1 year, the next year he was like, I'm done with that. He was like, I'm a senator. Like, I'm focused on getting us there. Like, that's not my thing anymore. I was stunned to see Clem Gostin, one, in the building, just rooting on the team he played on last year. Like,
like he traded him. A big playoff game against LA last year, or a big playoff goal.
Was that your jersey, Rick?
It was not mine.
No, it wasn't.
Oh, no. It was signed. It was signed.
By who?
Him.
Oh, not you. By
who? Are you trying to maybe say that Rick is actually Clem Gostin?
No, Rick took the video.
I'm not. I've never seen Clem and Rick in the same room together. So
that picture. I took three pictures and I posted them on Oilers Nation's Instagram last night. That thing, as we started this podcast, has 16,000 likes.
Ole baloney.
That is not normal for that page, is what I'm saying here.
He was well-liked.
You should have seen. Yeah, you had. There were a lot of people around him going up for pictures, saying hi, saying, hey, hope you come back. All sorts of well wishes like that.
Just little funsies?
Yeah.
That's cool. Going to an Oilers game.
But even like he posted one photo.
Yeah. Home for the playoffs.
And he tagged somebody.
Yeah, Vinny.
Yeah.
Well, he had that one from a couple days ago. It was home for the playoffs.
Yeah.
And then last night he tagged Vinny.
Yeah.
So did he have a nice time?
He's had a great time so far.
So what is he thinking?
What do you mean?
San Jose was not fun to play for.
I don't know if you can answer this, Rick, and you don't have to. Maybe you don't even know the answer. Was he okay with being on the Jumbotron after last night? Or was he like, oh boy, that's probably not good that I'm up there?
No, he is fine. Like the guy he was with, like made it happen.
Okay.
Big Mo made it happen.
Big Mo?
Mo made it happen, yeah.
Mo money, Mo problems.
Yeah, no problems.
No problems for Mo.
Yeah, Mo doesn't have any problems.
Mo.
Anyway, I loved it. I love seeing Clem Costin there. It was funny for me because I was just sitting there. I was only half paying attention. I think
you should probably see it in different sports more often.
What do you mean?
Where you see like basketball, you might, or football, you might see guys that, you know, you see football games.
But
guys
is wearing your old jersey logo. Is so unique.
Like that's even rarer in other sports to wear your own, to wear another team's logo. That would get you killed in the NFL.
No.
Unless you're the Kelce boys.
But yeah, siblings, I think you always get a bit of a pass for, but like just going back, like.
Cause now in my mentions, cause the picture I took last night and posted on Twitter is kind of going everywhere right now. I have Sharks fans in my mentions kind of being like, oh, Clem, come on. We need you, man. Like if I was a Sharks fan, I'd be like, no.
I said,
like, what do you want?
No, but like, okay, Rick, let me.
Jersey thing. Fine. I get that.
Yeah.
But I mean, you can just go to the game.
Supporting
and
the team is whatever. My example was like, imagine the Oilers missed this year. And right now there were videos of Warren Fogle in Carolina wearing a Canes jersey. I'd be like, bro, what? Don't do that.
I'm trying to
come up with examples. I can't think of any.
Yeah. But again, I love Clem. So I love this Clem is totally, too. I'm giving him 100% pass.
Once an Oiler, always an Oiler.
Certain photo of him getting off the plane started ripping around Twitter last night. Again, and I hadn't seen it for a while. So good for you, Clem.
When is he here for tomorrow's game?
I believe he's here for a couple of days, and I believe he'll be somewhere.
Joining us in Los Angeles, I heard.
Yeah, well, he's got family out there, so.
No, yeah, the Oilers. Yeah.
Well, when are we getting him on this show, Rick? I've asked you numerous times.
And I've tried.
I love that the text. First reaction
I have
was
tried.
That.
I have a new offer. Yeah. We have a playoff partner, Boston Pizza. If you remember to the fun we had with Costin Pizza a year ago.
Bandera Pizza Brand.
Would Clem do a sit-down interview where maybe we just crush wings and beer and talk hockey, talk life?
You can come, Rick.
Maybe. We can talk to him.
That'd be an interesting offer.
It would be.
Tell him it's on me.
But he likes...
And I can be like,
as you saw in the video, it's a little shy.
Well, that's okay.
Which is why we'll have the beers.
Tell him he can also just have a one-on-one hangout with me if he wants to. On me.
Cameras. Come hang out with Dan.
Exactly. I'm not offering any deal at all. Just me.
Could you ask him if he wants to walk my dog with me today?
I feel like that'd be nice. That
would be a good idea. BM's always finding cool shit on the side of the road. Clem would love that.
Clem, found a microwave the other day. Pop that thing in your truck. Let's go.
I do find that amazing.
What's that?
Your Instagram is just all these items.
I feel like some of them, I'm like, if you took that and put it on Marketplace, you could sell it.
I thought that literally about the microwave I posted 2 days ago.
Yeah.
It had its box with it.
Like you probably could have gotten $25 for that.
Yeah.
Like,
and you don't go to Marketplace. You take it to like the,
no,
you take it to like a pawn shop or something. You don't want that thing on Marketplace. People are coming up to your house for $25. No.
That's why I don't want nobody coming to my house anyway.
Yeah.
It's like when
I see people selling stuff on Facebook all the time. Like, this is for $10. This is for $20. There is nothing in this world that I want to sell bad enough for $10 that I just want random people reaching out to me.
Oh, my girlfriend does that. And it'll be like a salt and pepper, a spice rack. She put up for like $8. I literally took it, threw it in the garbage and was like, I don't want someone coming to our house for $8 or whatever. Yeah. Like,
and then all of a sudden they see the Nation truck. They're like, oh, that's where Tyler Yaremchuk lives.
And then next thing you know, they're fucking following me home. Next thing you know, they're in parking gate. These streets ain't safe. You can't come to my neighborhood.
No, they're going to see your fence that's beat up.
That's bad.
Yeah, come on. Yeah, I can't have it. Facebook Marketplace. You got to have a neutral gang territory. Mm-hmm. Got to meet in the Safeway parking lot.
Smart.
Anyway.
The old days.
It's been 30.
Before the stores opened.
That's right. It's been 30 years since a Canadian team has won the Stanley Cup. For some teams, a lot longer than that. What would it take for Canadian hockey fans to set aside their differences and work together to end the drought? Is it their team or nothing? or could they get behind a rival under the right circumstances? Our friends at BP's want to know. Boston Pizza is joining us for the playoffs. These are the questions they want to know. Rick.
They really just asked me if I'm going to cheer for somebody else.
That's right. Well, if the Oilers are out, sorry, could you see a scenario in which any of the other Canadian teams you can get behind?
No.
That's what I said. I said, Boston Pizza, I love you.
No.
I love your food. Listen, the spicy pierogi pizza, I will eat that every day the rest of my life. It is fantastic.
That Boston brut with some meat sauce?
Come on.
Let's go.
But would you give it up for the rest of your life for a Stanley Cup?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's not even a question.
Sorry, well, Tyler, Boston could pizza. You cheer for another Canadian team?
I have a soft spot for Jets fans, but not the Jets themselves. They're the only one who even gets a bit of consideration from me, but probably not, no.
We've gone through this. It's all about cheering against a team. And once all the once all your bad ones are out, you take a step back and just enjoy the sport. You don't have to cheer for somebody all the time.
Let me run through some questions for you from our friends at Boston Pizza. No I feel problem. Like you'd have the answers. Is how would you convince a rival fan to come with us and cheer for the Oilers on our cup run?
Your team sucks and we're going to win.
Connor McDavid.
Convinced him.
That's how I do it.
Done?
That was the done job deal.
Done.
You're going on a road trip? Is that what it is? Or are you coming here?
Like, no, they can come here.
Yeah, if you're going on a road trip, we're a lot of fun to hang out with.
What's your go-to game time food item from Boston Pizza?
Pre or post?
Let's start pre first.
Pre, maybe some Bandera bread.
It's delicious.
It is. Yeah, it's tough. I'll probably avoid the pizza just because I like to try and dibble, dab in the appies there.
What about, can I interest you in a stromboli sandwich?
Whoa. Oh yeah. You know what? No, what's those, the potato, the little it's thin like a pizza potatoes.
Cactus cuts.
Yeah, those are good. And then a little dip.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember pizza burger that they used to have at Boston Pizza?
I could buy that.
That was strong.
If you asked my boy Waz, he would tell you all about the ravioli.
I need the Boston cheesesteak to come back, Boston Pizza.
The Boston, the what?
The Boston cheesesteak.
Ooh, that'd be nice.
I used to eat it all the time.
There is some good old items too that they should bring back.
They have some golden menu.
Let's have a look.
Options.
Liam, any other Canadian team you would ever cheer for?
Never, to be honest.
No, me neither.
No, I could never bring myself to do it. I, quite frankly, if the Oilers aren't in the playoffs, if they get eliminated, I just stop watching.
Do you actually stop watching? You're a scout, so I feel like you watch a lot of hockey.
He won't watch games that aren't the Oilers.
Don't watch. Last night, I went to my... Like, sometimes I'll throw it on, but I'll obviously do some things. But last night, I went to my parents' house. My dad is worse than me. He's a Mariners fan. Yeah. So he bought MLB, the network or whatever. And last night, I got there, and he had Pittsburgh versus Milwaukee, the baseball. And it was 0-0 in like the fourth inning.
Riveting.
And the Bruins and the Leafs were in the last 10 minutes of a tie game at that time. And he's like, no, I want to watch this. So I'm like, what is going on here? I do not.
Regular season, I think it's a little bit tough, but playoff hockey is different. No, but it's like, it's just fun to watch.
I find that.
Without having to cheer for a team.
I watch a lot in the first round.
Yeah.
And then if the Oilers are out after that, I'll have it on. But like.
But there's really a reason for that. Your heart's broken.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's fine. I get that.
Yes. My heart's broken. So like for our friends at Boston Pizza, I can't look at another Canadian team having fun and want to get on that bandwagon. I can't.
Yeah, no, that's fair. But I mean, if we were not, I mean, we've done this more than twice. We're not in it. Like when we're out by like November and we're kind of out of it already. I can still watch the playoffs and like just enjoy the game. And because it's intense. It's fun. It's physical.
You put a couple of cheeky little bets on it. Make sometimes, it a little spicy. Yeah,
maybe. Yeah.
Sometimes you got it. I had a great night last night.
Well, I would like to thank Scotty Scheffler for sending me to the hockey game.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
Saturday morning, I woke up. He was 3 strokes back. I put $50 down. He was plus 550.
Oh, damn. That's nice. A good hit.
That's real.
Nice. Oh, can I tell you guys about my bet?
Yes, please.
Connor McDavid over 11.5 points in the series. I got it at 3-1.
Well, he's halfway there.
He's basically halfway there. Electric.
The one that I hit last night, I'm just going to find it for you.
I didn't have a great night because I needed McDavid to score. If McDavid would have scored, it would have been a great night.
So there was a couple. The one that I hit that I was nervous about to start. Oilers to win, money line.
Yeah.
Stew over 25.5 saves and Talbot over 28.5 saves.
Yeah.
as the goals started going in on Talbot, I'm like, oh fuck, he's going to get the yank here. Nailed that one. Then the one that really worked for me was put this little parlay together myself. I had Leon over one, over a half point, Nuge over a half point, Hyman over a half point, but then I needed Fogle over a half point. So when he drained the empty netter,
oh wow,
I did a fist pump. I basically punched the roof of Rogers' place.
I had Fogle goal.
You would have broke your hand if you were in Calgary.
Oh, I would have gone straight.
So I have a buddy of mine. He sent me his from last night. Tidy little win here. Oilers money line. Leon two plus shots. Leon over 0.5 points. Zach over 0.5 points. Connor over half an assist. Boosh two shots. Hyman three. Connor two shots.
What was the plus? Plus what?
Holy 7-1, but went heavy on that bad boy. So wowzers.
I had one that I missed by one shot on goal.
Oh, so no. That was mine last night.
Money line Oilers. Draisaitl two plus points. Nuge one plus point. Bouchard two and a half shots, over two and a half shots. Warren Fogle over a half point. And I missed on Ekholm over one and a half shots.
Oh, so that was the one I missed too.
It was plus 2,200.
No.
Yeah, I didn't go that hard.
That sucks.
It hurts. I was just like towards the end of that, I'm like, just fucking throw it. Just fucking throw it.
So that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking I'm going to sprinkle a little bit tomorrow on the, on that type of a bet, because I think you're going to see the same type of thing. It's going to be Edmonton at home. Edmonton's going to come out and play very offensive, beat that 1-3-1 or whatever the hell you want to call their system. And when you get down to LA, I think the numbers can go down a bit, but I think tomorrow will be another offensive night for us.
But for right now, it is time to turn it over to Nation Dan.
Woohoo.
We're going to play another edition of 3v3 here. Presented by our friends at Boston Pizza. Of course, we were talking about it. Can you cheer for another Canadian team if our beloved Edmonton Oilers are out? You hit us up. Owen Radio Podcast. I want to hear from you. I'm guessing there's probably a lot of no's. But if you're yes, I really want to hear from you.
The language is tough there. Cheer for versus not cheer actively against.
Yeah, I mean, that's a very big distinction, right?
I specify when we're like, Calgary's in the playoffs against doesn't matter who. They're like, yeah. Oh, you're cheering for doesn't matter who? I'm like, no.
Yeah.
I'm cheering for Calgary to lose. And if that team wins as it happened, sure, I don't give two shits.
Somebody's got to lose.
I just want them to lose.
It's like if I would cheer for a meteor to hit the arena, but I guess that's just too much.
I would say I would cheer actively against Toronto, Calgary, Vancouver, and then I'm probably indifferent to Ottawa and Winnipeg.
I'm indifferent to Montreal, kind of, too.
And Montreal, their fans are all dying,
so I can't, yeah, I can't almost feel bad for them. The surviving ones that having a good time.
Yep. But yes, Dan's 3v3 game brought to you by Boston Pizza. Sorry about that. Oilers and Kings players is what we're going to be drafting today. Former Oilers and Kings players. But we learned from the last time we did this, Wayne Gretzky not available in this draft. Yep. Wayne Gretzky's going to sit out. I just want to
point out, you didn't really... First of all, everyone should be doing this from memory because you didn't send us a thing. So I'd like to challenge everyone to put their phones down.
I got you, Rick.
I'm doing it from memory.
Tyler's not allowing it.
Okay, I'll do it from memory.
All right. If we're
doing well, normally then, he sends us a thing.
And our bonus pick is going to be your favorite hockey movie.
That's fine.
Okay. Fine. So we're doing it from memory.
Hollywood
we'll do
theme.
It live.
The order that I picked via random list order generator is Liam, Bag Milk, Rick, Tyler, and myself. So Liam, you get to start us off with your Oilers / Kings player or your bonus hockey movie.
We need, we need two forwards, D-man goalie.
No, because we don't have a goalie. You don't have to pick a goalie.
Okay. So two forwards and a D-man.
Yeah.
Okay. Two forwards and a D-man.
Mighty Ducks.
Oh, taking Mighty Ducks off the
first
board.
One.
Move
first
right one. Off the
OG.
Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. Mighty Ducks is off the board. BM, you are not up next.
I'm taking my boy Ryan Smith.
Good answer, Steve. Good answer.
Ryan Smith is chosen by
Welcome
Bag
to Family
Milk.
Feud, everybody. It's your man, Steve Hobbit.
Rick. Ryan Smith and Mighty Ducks are off the board. Where are you going with your first pick?
Well, I'm going to go back to the 06 team. I'm going to go with Jarrett Stoll.
Ooh, nice.
Jarrett Stoll off the board. Tyler, you've been able to think about it here.
Yeah. Give me Anson Carter.
Oh, nice.
Nice pickup. Trying to write down things as I'm doing this.
I would love a Boston Brute while you're working on that.
I'm gonna go ahead and grab Mr. Pancakes himself,
ooh, nice.
Dustin Penner.
Very nice.
As well as one Paul Coffey, our current assistant head coach.
He played for everyone.
He played for them, didn't he?
Yeah, we played this game once.
Yes. Paul Coffey and Dustin Penner joining the Dan squad. Mm. Tyler, reeling after getting Paul Coffey picked out from underneath him, is going to select.
Doing this all from memory. This name stuck in my head, so I got to pick him. I'm going Lubomir Vyshnovsky.
Oh, that was my next
one. I thought of that one, too.
Mm-hmm. All right. Rick, you have your next pick with Jarrett Stoll joining.
We're going to go a little bit later than that. Mm. And this man came into the bar once. I took good care of him and he gave me $100. Actually, gave it to Brittany and I only got $50 out of it, but hey, whatever. Marty McSorley.
Ah, fuck. That's
oh, wow. Spot. That's a good one.
Thank you.
That's a really good one.
All right. Marty McSorley off the board. Beg Milk, you have your next pick.
Man, I'm really gapping here. All I can think of is just shitty, shitty players who have played for both teams.
Sounds
so
like
I
you got to take Colin Frazier.
I was legitimately going to. I kind of have to take Colin Frazier because I'm gapping right now.
Happens.
This is fun.
We need it's to put the distinction in that these are from memory.
Yeah, from memory is way
awesome. I love this though.
I'll make sure Woz includes it on the graphic. Liam, you have two picks around the corner. You've already picked your movie, of course. Mm-hmm. So you have the opportunity to pick any Kings and Oilers player you can think of.
Well, let's pick Cam Talbot.
Okay. You can take him as a skater. It's fine.
I can't believe there's not enough goalie crossover.
Didn't Jonas Gustavsson play for both teams?
No.
I wasn't going to take him anyway. Matt Green.
Oh, that's a good one. Mm-hmm. Steady D man.
Yep. Right in front of Talbot. Needs some defense in front of him, evidently.
All right. Perfect. After Matt Green being picked by Liam, we have Beg Milk.
I'm trying to think back now.
Don't know a third player, so hopefully one of you guys stays sparks me.
I can't have Wayne Gretzky, but I can have Jari Kurri.
Yes, you can.
It's a good one.
Yeah, that'll play.
What a team I've got. Colin Frazier down the middle.
Is it me?
It sure is you.
Bernie Nichols.
Oh, beauty.
No, it is Rick. Sorry, I apologize.
Oh, fuck. Rick,
Take it.
You can keep it. I'm going Mike Krzyzewski.
Oh, wow. Have fun spelling that one.
Sorry, Beg Milk, who was your pick? I autocorrect
Curry.
Over. Okay, yeah, Curry. And then Rick, you did?
Crusher, Mike Krzyzewski.
Okay, good. That'll probably be easy for me to spell.
Can we actually get a screenshot of how you're spelling that?
Yes, you can. Tyler, what was your first pick, by the way?
That
was a good one.
Anson Carter.
There we go. Anson Carter.
So I should have Anson Carter
and Lubo.
Lubo, and rounding up my forward group, I'm going with Bernie Nichols.
Bernie Nichols.
He's a 50-goal man for the Oilers.
I am going to grab Kelly Buchberger.
Oh, beauty.
Because nice. I remember him wearing those purple helmets, and that just bugged me.
He had the classic look good bucket, in a too. That
he's lucky with the bucket.
And then my movie pick is going to be, Slapshot. I'm going to go with Slapshot, the original.
That's the classic.
Yep.
So back to
me
Tyler for his movie
pick. Last pick, movie.
Yeah.
MVP, most valuable primate. MVP.
Yeah.
Was the stick one different? You look so happy to get this.
He's so pumped with himself right now. Very
what proud. Was there a different distinction for the title there to keep it separate from the basketball MVP?
Yeah, there was a hockey version.
Yeah, I can't remember what it was. Just so Woz can look it up because I'm sure he's never seen it.
It's probably got some like terribly corny 90s tagline to it.
No, it's legitimately just MVP, most valuable primate.
Got it.
It was perfect. The first one then.
There you go, Woz.
In the year 2000. In the year 2000.
The Conan fans in the room are laughing their asses off. Rick, you get to pick your hockey movie.
I once played hockey with a guy who was on this movie. He was our captain for a couple of years in the Green Pepper League way back in the late 2000s. Mystery Alaska.
Oh, nice.
Mystery Alaska.
Very, very nice.
Going off the board and I like
it. Sean Johnson.
Beg Milk, you get to pick your Hollywood movie.
I love this movie because of how dumb it is. Made me laugh. There's some good jokes in it. Goon.
Oh, that is a good movie.
A lot of people love that one. Yeah.
Goon is my pick.
Great pick. Great pick. Liam, you finish off this barn burner edition of Dan's 3v3 game with your pick of an Oiler/Kings player that you can remember. I've delayed it as long as I can for you. Go ahead.
There is only one player that I can remember playing for both teams. After I ran it through my head of this year's roster. There's only one other player on this team that's played for both teams. Can anyone guess?
Mike Camilleri.
That would have been a way better guess.
UC Jokinen.
No, that would have been good.
Your microphone went limp when you said UC Jokinen.
Hasn't had a chicken sandwich in a while.
Troy Stetcher.
Troy Stetcher. Nice current Edmonton Oiler.
How long did he play for the Kings? Like 6 minutes?
I think he was traded there at like the deadline or something. He's Mike Camilleri would have been so much better.
That would have been a great pick.
I could have really used a forward with Cam Teller and Matt Green.
Yeah, your lineup's looking a little defensive, but that's fine.
I'm getting votes for Mighty Ducks.
And for staying on point with the LA Kings. But that's Dan's 3v3 thanks to Boston Pizza.
I can't believe Disney bailed on production of MVP halfway through, and that's why it never went to theaters.
Some other players we missed, just in case you were wondering.
Yeah, please. Yeah,
who did we miss?
Grant Fuhr.
Oh, that would have been a good one.
He was at the game last night. Charlie Huddy was at the game. I lied.
Didn't he play for the Kings too?
Charlie Huddy did play for the Kings, yeah.
Oh, you're looking at the list, are you not?
Andreas Athanasiou.
Yeah.
Eric Bollinger.
Face off.
Mike Camilleri. Jimmy Carson. Jeff Chychrun.
Right.
Paul Coffey. Paul Konecker. Dan Curry. Donald Dufresne. Classic Todd Ellick from the 90s.
Yep.
Tommy Gilbert. How did everybody forget Kevin Gravel's time with both teams?
Can I say we could have done goalies? Fear, Talbot, Scrivens, Garon, Jack Campbell, Jason LaBarbera.
It's true, we could have, but I just did the movies instead.
Well, to be fair, we had to guess him off the top of our heads, and I'm the only one that picked a goalie.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Jonas Gustafsson?
No. Troy Stetcher played 13 games with the Kings. That would have
been a great Puck-Doku answer.
It would have been a great Puck-Doku answer. There you go. I'm going to read this ad read, and then we're going to take a quick break, and we'll bring Waz in. Can you clear that up for me?
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
If you're looking for a trusted professional fence company here in Alberta and one that can do it all, you count on Duraguard Fence Limited. For 37 years, Duraguard Fence Limited have been offering manufacturing, installing, repair services, as well as a whole range of do-it-yourself solutions. They are the most highly trained and experienced fence installers operating the most modern fleet of equipment in Alberta. Duraguard Fence, your one-stop shop for all things fences. Whether you want chain link, wood, vinyl, or ornamental fencing, Duraguard Fence is the place. You want a quote, a little bit more information, visit DuraguardFence.ca. We're going to bring in Waz to the podcast. It's time to teach him a couple of things can you clear that up for me? First thing, Waz, I want to ask you, because we were talking about the Oilers game, obviously, last night. How was the Moss Pit for game one?
It was very enjoyable. I was having a great time. I think it took me maybe one beer to get me dancing. So I was just enjoying the vibes. Everyone was having a good time. I know on social people were posting fights. I didn't see any fights. You know, these things happen.
Can you clear something up for me, Waz? You said you had maybe one beer?
Before he started dancing.
1.5
Okay, I was just checking the math there. Just
Billy,
to make sure.
Billy, shout out Billy. He gave me a beer just out of nowhere. I'm like, okay, I'll take it.
Shout out first one?
Don't take
I drink a beer sometimes. Strangers.
Was it the first one? Or
he's not a stranger. He's a nation citizen. He loves everything we do. So
had you met him before?
Yes, he was at our Greta watch parties.
What about before that?
I think so. I don't know.
Please wait 1 moment. Okay.
I also drink a beer at Roger's place, and I get crazy. There you go. One beer, though, was okay. Not maybe.
Hey, you know, that's fine. But why are you wearing shades, Dan, inside?
Because the future's so bright.
Oh, okay. Ooh,
that's a hell of an answer.
All right, we're going to clear this up for me. Sorry, let me be. Some of you guys might remember 2006. Is there a difference between how fans celebrate around Edmonton between 06 and now? Like, do you think there's a different vibe with how we celebrate wins?
Yes. Location, location, location.
For sure.
Fair. The arena, though, does different.
Yeah, the arena, obviously, nobody wanted to party outside of Rexall Place.
No, but being inside Northlands, being inside Rogers.
Did you pop no over offense. Diesel Ultra Lounge back then or a couple of pops?
Sometimes, yeah, you got to do what you got to do. No offense to anything going on at Rogers, but the atmosphere inside Coliseum or whatever the hell you want to call it was a little bit different, but I mean, it's a smaller building. The noise balance is different.
Do you remember the beer garden outside of the Coliseum as well?
Oh yeah.
Rexall.
Did you run by Power 92?
Yeah. They had a happening beer garden
right outside the LRT entrance or the bridge. It goes.
Another thing is we all used to flood to White Ave.
Yep.
That was the spot to go. No camera phones. Ideal for some shenanigans probably. So even
there's lots of video of,
scantily clad ladies.
Yeah.
Oh,
whoa.
Liam
and dudes. There's a lot more hanging on power lines back then from what I remember.
Isn't that how birds die?
No, that's how laws is how
isn't birds that how die. Birds charge?
Great point.
Thank you.
All right.
Well, you know, it's interesting because you bring up the point of like, there's no cameras. Like we get video nowadays of people fighting in the mosh pit and stuff. Like I assume that was happening on White Ave and apparently that was okay.
It
was
1,000%. There's no video of it.
Yeah.
Like even just lighting wise on White Ave, if you go back and look at the footage, it's all you can see is the fire that had broken out in the middle of the road and then somebody around it. Everything else was just blacked out. It's the way it is.
It's funny.
People inside of a shopping cart.
I saw something on Twitter. Someone was like, 2006 was way better because there was bonfires. People were breaking shit.
This yeah, that sounds better.
Ask
for the record, that was the people in charge of that, of trying to keep things cool, screwed up in 06.
Yeah, they didn't do a good job.
They said, stay off the street.
Yep.
Stay on the sidewalks, yep. Which is a way smaller area. Mm-hmm. Close it from Calgary Trail to 109.
Yeah.
Put your backs against the building and let them be idiots in the middle. Simple.
It kind of got to there as the playoffs went along, but there was just like mayhem to start.
Yeah.
I don't know how many days I went to work the next day at my sales job. I was a sales rep for a promotional company, a very poor one, Tyler, in the same clothes that I was wearing the day before. Cause that was 2006, man.
I love that for you.
Crawling up on top of that Starbucks.
Actually, the question after we lost Game 7, I'm sorry to bring that up. How was the reaction on the streets? Did people actually, were they just sad? Cause you know, Vancouver, we all hear about their riots. Did people react poorly?
I don't remember anything like that, but I also couldn't tell you what happened. I didn't go anywhere near that.
Oh yeah, I know what I did. I watched it at my buddy's place, or I guess his parents' house in his basement. I got in my car when the buzzer went. I drove home and it didn't say a word. No music, nothing.
Yeah, I walked out of the bar and I don't know where I went, but yeah, I was pretty much didn't happen.
I'm sorry to bring up bad memories. Okay, on top of this, I mentioned Vancouver. Clear this up for me. Does it matter how fans celebrate a playoff victory? Like Canucks fans were celebrating Game 1 as if they won the whole thing. I didn't really care. They were having fun.
As long as you don't make a music video, you're fine.
Yeah, like honestly, I'm never going to be someone who's like, you're celebrating too hard, because I'm, there's only one team at the end of the year and one fan base who gets to celebrate a Stanley Cup, and I think you should celebrate every victory along the way.
Sports are fun.
Yeah.
Why can't we have fun?
The fans can celebrate. I just want the team to calm down. So I'm not a big fan of some of the champagne celebrations in baseball when you just... You know, you have four of them before you get to the World Series.
Yeah, that I agree.
Not a big fan of that, but it is what it is. Just go have fun, man.
In terms of like this specific playoff run, you know what? Have a blast.
The only thing I didn't like is when I was going to the game last night, that big semi truck or whatever, before the game, was playing La Bamba. I don't like that.
Oh, bad juju.
That's the win song. You play it when you win, not before.
And I'll just say, pace yourself. We got a long playoff run in this city.
Yep.
Well, that's one thing. We're going to see who can hang and who can't is the playoff run, especially if you're going to like do what we do, late nights or early mornings and content. No, we're going to see who hangs during this playoff run.
Now, switching gears back to the Oilers, clear this up for me. How would you describe the strength of the Oilers' depth? For example, last year there was plenty of production, but it didn't seem like that was enough.
Yeah, I think during the playoffs is where it dried up, and that's where this will be tested on. But I look at, you know, let's use the forward group they iced last night versus the forward group they had for the last game against Vegas. You take out Bukestad, Yamamoto, and Kostin, and you've added in Perry, Henrique, and Carrick. Dylan Holloway also playing a little bit more impactful. So he's in over, I think it's Derek Ryan. I think you can kind of look at each of those spots and be like, upgrade, 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 upgrade. So
I think that, yeah, the upgrades run through the lineup. This is probably the deepest top 12 that I've seen in quite some time.
Yeah.
And defensively, Ekholm has established himself as our top left defenseman.
Yeah. Last year was still Darryl.
Yeah. So yeah, the team's makeup is different.
I wonder, because I know last year, like every forward almost had 10 plus goals, but like this year it seems like there's more versatility and just a flexibility.
Different build, man.
All right. Perfect. Thank you for clearing that up for me.
Thanks, Waz. Okay. Thanks, Waz. I know we got to wrap up the pod.
Sure.
Can I please read the plot to MVP?
To most valuable prospect? Yeah. Of course.
It'll take me like 3 minutes. Are you okay with this?
We'd be stupid not to.
Are you okay with this?
Yeah.
Then normally you're the one that right, says three, an hour and two.
I know. But it's three paragraphs, and I think it's really good.
All right.
The plot revolves around an ape playing sports. Jack, a three-year-old chimpanzee, is the subject of an experiment involving sign language performed by Dr. Kendall at a university in San Diego.
Hang on a sec. Could you imagine the sign language required to teach a chimp how to play hockey? My goodness.
Anyway, rules? Try to explain the Department of Player Safety.
Right? Try to explain offside? Like what?
One day, however, Dr. Kendall loses funding for his research.
Oh, no.
Kendall arranges for Jack to return to his original home in a California nature preserve, but dies before the transaction is completed.
Oh, no.
And Dr. Kendall's boss, Dr. Peabody, sells Jack to the University of Tennessee. Meanwhile, other side of the story, the Westover family has just moved to Nelson, British Columbia. Stephen, the son, was the leading scorer on his high school hockey team in California, and he joins the local junior B team, the Nuggets, but is surprised, however, by the violence of play and the apathy of his teammates towards their constant losing. And then the next line is his sister, Tara, who is deaf, is having a hard time making friends at her new school. Ooh, I bet you that has something to do with the sign language. Anyways, meanwhile, hearing
or they just made the character deaf for no reason. Yeah. Like the other thing,
you know, he's watching this movie tonight, right?
Meanwhile, hearing rumors that the University of Tennessee is performing hepatitis tests on primates.
Wow.
A maintenance worker at the old San Diego University arranges for Jack to return to the nature preserve as originally planned. But Jack is the monkey.
The doctor died. Yeah. He was going to move him, but no, yeah.
But Jack, the monkey, falls asleep on the train and somehow ends up in Nelson instead. Jack finds shelter in Tara.
Surely you can't send the chimpanzee on a train by himself.
Who hasn't taken a train from Tennessee to Nelson, BC before?
Who hasn't put a
with the intents of going to San Diego?
Yes. Through San Diego, that's natural. Come on now.
Jack finds shelter in Tara's treehouse, but ends up surprising Tara when she enters, causing her to faint.
Did she fall out of the tree?
When Tara wakes up, she learns he can use sign language. She attempts to hide Jack from her parents and Stephen, but is unsuccessful. Stephen soon discovers that Jack has an uncanny ability to play the sport of ice hockey, and Jack joins Stephen on the Nuggets after the coach convinces the league's owners that a chimpanzee player would bring in a massive increase in ticket sales. Jack brings the Nuggets on-ice success, helps Tara become closer to her classmates, presumably through the sign language. Eventually, the Nuggets win the Junior B championship, qualifying for the Harvest Cup final in Vancouver. You're familiar, Liam. During the game, Dr. Peabody shows up, hoping to
dead.
No, that was the other Peabody is the doctor who took Jack after the first doctor died and shipped him to Tennessee to get hepatitis tested.
Oh, this is the plot twist.
This is the plot twist. Dr. Peabody shows up at the arena in Vancouver, hoping to take Jack from the team. Why can't you just let him finish playing the games? The team refuses to give him up, so Peabody makes a plan to take him after the game. Tara is able to figure out Peabody's plan, alerts Steven. Steven takes Jack away from the arena during the second intermission to send him home to the nature preserve. Tara, being a similar size to
second
Jack.
Do they win the game still?
Tara, being a similar size to Jack, puts on Jack's gear and jersey and ends up scoring the game-winning goal.
Wait a minute. The deaf Genius. Girl.
Yeah, yeah, same size.
Joins the junior B team in the monkey's gear.
One, we've got a roster violation.
Absolutely.
Like, I'm guessing the monkey had some facial hair.
Yeah.
Some hair on the face. You could put the gear on and find and hide everything, but there's no real mask or anything that you can hide behind. You're going to see her face.
And he wore a visor.
They should have just said that they
can't block his vision.
Should have just said that Jack had a spleen injury and pulled him off the roster.
That's the end of the movie. If they made it in 2084, they put him on LTIR.
Wow. All right, what an adventure.
That's how I really wanted to end.
That's how we're going to end the podcast.
The first question that comes to mind is, how high were the people that wrote that?
You can kind of, as I went through there, because there's a footnote that says it was another production company in Disney, and halfway through Disney said, this is a made for the shelf movie. We're out. As I got through that plot, you quickly understand why.
Someone took over.
Yeah. Somebody at Disney's like, wait a minute, I'm reading this monkey story.
I was with you up until the train went through San Diego.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like the monkey doesn't even have a chaperone on the train. This is ridiculous.
Put him on a passenger train and we're like,
yeah, the boy in this movie is Kevin Zegras. Any relation, I wonder?
Probably.
It's actually Trevor Zegras in Tyler Zegras' clothes.
You've got the phone there that'll tell you that real quickly.
I couldn't find it.
Real quick, before we wrap up, score prediction. Game 2, tomorrow night, Rogers Place. Oilers looking to take a 2-0 lead in the series. Nation Dan.
5-3 Edmonton win.
5-3 Edmonton win.
I'm going to say a 6-3 Edmonton win.
Rick?
6-1.
4-2 win coming at you. Enjoy the game tomorrow. We'll be back on Friday. Or no, we won't. Saturday,
yes. So for everyone listening right now, me, BM, Liam, we're heading down to LA. On Friday, we're going to have ON every day. Then we're doing a special pregame show 2 hours before puck drop. So you'll hear all me, BM, and Liam. We'll hear all our takes on that. Saturday, we're going to do a game 3 recap episode of ONR. So you'll have some Saturday content. That's all.
Rick and I will also be there. Maybe.
Spirit. I'll be golfing, so I won't be
remotely.
Rick will be golfing.
I'll call you
with Adam Mandrick.
I'll call in.
Oh yeah, give me a show. I'll FaceTime in. I'll bring Adam Mandrick in, and we'll talk about it.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, that's a good idea.
We can absolutely do that.
Yep.
All right. Have a great week, everybody. We'll talk to you sometime.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.